Hi, everybody. It's Day Positive again, number 9. Wow. Happy Tuesday. Hope your week was good. St. Patrick's Day was good. I'm going to advertise again for my comedy show that's happening tomorrow, Harvest Moon Comedy. It's on the 20th, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Doors are at 7:30. If you haven't already bought tickets, I advise to go to the Eventbrite link in my Instagram bio, or Google Harvest Moon Comedy Show, Laces Bar, L-A-C-E-S, and I'm sure you'll find it online. And yeah, tickets are $10. If you're in the Koreatown, LA area, it's a good place to go tomorrow night. We've got like a great lineup of comedians: Fahim Anwar, Atsuko Okatsuka, Sam Clark, Veronica Kwiatkowski, Harper Rose Drummond, Matt Torkelson, and myself, who are hosting and producing this, and we're really excited. Plus, it's an exclusive private event because the bar really isn't open yet, so, you know, say hi. Hope you come. I'm really excited that I've lasted this long. I actually recorded a ton of episodes before I even launched Stay Positive, and now I'm running out, so I'm going to have to start recording again, which is exciting because then we'll have new guests and, you know, probably more current references in the actual conversations. But this week I have a really awesome person on. He was the person who produced this web series that I did a while back called Asians That's Funny on ISATV. But you probably know him as a rapper and also somebody who has a really amazing journey and backstory because he was adopted and he has his whole story up online, kind of documentary about him and his life. He's got some great music videos up on YouTube, and you can listen to his music on Spotify, iTunes, all the places, because he's really just that talented. A little fun fact about this week's conversation is we actually didn't talk as much about, you know, the usual things that I think I've had in previous episodes. We got a little off track, but in like an awesome way, and I probably couldn't have had that conversation with anyone else. So without further ado, this is Dan Matthews, also known as Dan, aka Dan. Hey!
What's going on?
We're beginning. Thank you so much for coming out and doing this podcast.
Yeah.
And helping me, like, I don't know, figure out what this is kind of too. But thanks, Dan. I guess we met kind of because of ISATV. Mm-hmm. But you're a very prolific rapper, producer, musician, so many things, wear a lot of hats. And I don't know, it's always been like such an inspiration because I think it's hard to find people that are like just doing it and working really hard all the time. And not really defined by like normal career norms, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Talk about or sort of introduce yourself and what you kind of see? Because I feel like I also don't even know what you're up to in the current moment sometimes,
sure.
Right?
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And also for those people that are listening but can't see, she's got quite the podcast setup.
Oh,
like
do
I've
I?
Seen other people do podcast stuff, and like this is like really advanced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is like really. She's got like the full mic setup.
Everything's like Amazon.com, you know.
Do they have like are these mics specifically for podcasting?
These, I mean, so
I bet they
Googled
make podcast mics.
Mic yeah. On Amazon. I Amazoned podcast mic and these did come up.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like they could also work for other things, but because podcasting is such a hot market right now, people kind of tag their microphones as podcast worthy, but anything you can talk into and it records your voice.
Sure. Is podcasting like at a level now where like there's just like way too many podcasts?
Oh, definitely.
Especially from like the comedian side. Like I bet that like there's so many comedians that you know that are probably either just doing their own podcast or like it's one of those things that it's almost like a comical, like stereotypical, like of course you have a podcast. Is that
totally.
Like kind of where it's at?
Oh, I mean, that's like part of the reservation of starting this at all, you know, is like being a little bit averse to the person who says, oh, just another one, yeah. You know, what is this? How is this different? And really it's not, but I think it's kind of a cool thing where people are still figuring out what podcasts are and you never know what's going to come out of it. I like the long form version of like media compared to say, you know, Twitter where everybody's getting in trouble for jokes. Like that scares me a lot. So I'm kind of like, well, I like the idea of something long form where we can talk.
Because you can explain, you can actually like go in on what you are trying to think about instead of like just sending out the 140 character shorter version of it.
Yeah, there's more context. We're like human, we're talking, it's our
voices.
And then I get to talk to cool people for like long periods of time that I probably like we could get coffee or like we've gotten coffee before, you and me, but I feel like, you know, this is another excuse to just actually ask people those questions you've been meaning to and an excuse to, reach out to people that I'm like, oh, I don't want to bother them. But if it's a purposeful thing.
See, no, I love that because I also feel like that when you have, not that like if we were just to get coffee that like I wouldn't be talking to you differently. But like this actually provides more context to it. The way that I'm talking about stuff would be a lot different than like me just giving you like my answer talking one-on-one at a coffee shop.
Right.
Yeah.
There's like this expectation that, you know, there might be an audience someday.
Yeah, yeah. So you explain right, things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is a podcast about podcasts, right? We're just talking about podcast mics.
That's the expectation these days.
How to podcast.
Uh-huh. You got to make it to that next level, that meta podcast.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you do a lot of, have you been on a lot of podcasts?
No, I've been on one podcast. Okay. So my friends have a podcast called ABG, the Asian Boss Girls. Have you met them?
Oh, okay. Well, one of them is
Helen Miller. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's like multiple people.
Yeah,
and
it's three of them.
A whole podcast and a brand, or is it just a podcast?
It started off as a podcast, but now they're like expanding into other things.
Okay.
And then I've been on my other, my friend Christine has a podcast called... something about being positive. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
So So I've been on that podcast and like, it was a really, again, I think that like in that situation, I was able to, like, I was just talking about stuff in ways that I wouldn't like talk about it otherwise. So
cool.
I do like having opportunities to like do this.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
I also see you're rocking the Japangelist cap.
I am. Yes.
Good stuff. I have two sweatshirts from them. I don't know. That was just exciting.
Yeah. So, all right. So this podcast is about like positive.
We're pumping on brands.
Yeah.
We're pubbing other people's podcasts.
Love
all
it.
The things. But yeah, no, also.
It's about staying positive.
A little bit. Yeah. You know, I wanted there to be, positive because it's a podcast, so you can't just say positive. But I wanted there to be like, you know, some central theme we could speak around, but generic enough where it doesn't limit us talking about everything. But I love to talk about life with people, I think, especially nowadays. I'm kind of in this, early 20s lost. Actually, not anymore. I'm 24, so it's like mid 20s lost, confused, figuring out what life means after you're not really like...
Let's get to
it. ...driven by, in my case, schooling anymore. That was like a structure that disappeared at some point. And now it's like, we're in this weird... you know this, in the weird kind of industry where there's not really any rules.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting. It makes it fun, but
I don't know. Let's get to the heart of you. Let me interview you, actually.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So what does that mean for you?
What does this mean?
Yeah.
I guess it's been like about 2+ years of like a lot of just kind of chilling out.
And let me first preface, have you talked about this on like your podcast? Like,
I guess so.
Is this something you generally have already, because if you've already talked about it, I don't want to go into it because it's something that you have already already talked about.
I understand what you mean. No, yeah. I mean, thanks for being considerate. I think like I have talked about it in different versions, but there's also like other ways to talk about it. So I'll try to be, more nuanced about it. But I mean, just to catch you up, I guess, on like what I have been going through, it's sort of like, doing comedy and being, not as beholden to certain standards and like being okay to be not always employed and figuring stuff out for myself. So I think a lot of that has been helped by finding ways to, keep a positive attitude and positive mind, because I think before too, or like in any scenario, it's helpful to have like external validation, and that just like doesn't really exist sometimes in our field and other things in the real world. So I learned, you're not getting as much feedback on a daily basis, or you're just not really sure what's going on. And social media is like a new thing that's becoming just as prevalent as normal human interaction.
Yeah.
So I think all that combined with, and then also, just the news.
Yeah.
LOL. Has been really helped by the fact that, finding ways to cope with stuff via talking it out with friends or, doing meditation.
Yeah.
Or, I just bought a yoga mat, so maybe I'll do yoga someday.
Love it.
All those wonderful things. And I guess, and people who I've talked to who have been in this for a while or been doing something a little bit less conventional for a while, I'm always inspired by like how easily they've outwardly appeared very easily, like, marching on,
Yeah.
Not affected by the standards that we call, that we hold so dear, I think, in normal society.
I'm nodding my head for,
home.
I think that you right now at like your age are in a very different situation, because you definitely like grew up more with like social media and like the things that like are validating your experience is like way different than like what was validating my experience when I was 24. And I think the 24 to 26, I talk about this with all of my friends. I think 24 to 26 are like probably the most, for the types of people that we are going to be like the most, things are going to change so much over the next 3 years. I know for me, like when I was 24 to 26, like that's when a lot of like, I thought about things differently. Like you decide, you become a lot more like certain about the decisions that you make. And so for me, like when I hit 27, I was a lot more confident with like, I need to do this. I need to do this, because your invisible timeline becomes a lot more like clear. You're just getting older. And so, but like 24 to 26, you're not like, you're not old yet, and like you're still like your mid 20s, and like you can make a lot of mistakes. Anyway, so, but I think that like it's, it's a tough, we're in a tough field. And yeah, I agree with everything that you've said. I bet everybody tells you the same thing with like, it doesn't get better. I don't know, like with the way that you think about things, like it's always going to be a struggle of like stability versus freedom. And that's the, that's what you get. Like that's the trade-off, but you also get an awesome life. You get to like pursue what you really want to do. And, I've got a lot of respect for you, especially like pursuing what you're doing. You're killing it. Like, I think there's a lot of Asian Americans in our community that like really just stay focused within the Asian American community. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that you do a really, really, really great job at like balancing both of those worlds. And I think that like you've been very associated like with our world, but like also like you're out there just on the day, like just grinding it out, like within the non-Asian American world. And so there's very few people that do that and do it in such a you do it very respectfully. So on it, like for as far as like needing external validation, like Sierra, you're killing it, man. Like, yeah, great job.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Very kind words. That's funny. It's because I feel like I mean, that's sort of like a byproduct of stand up, because there's not a lot of Asian stand up. So it's sort of like what we have to do does kind of go outside of the Asian world. But I've been so like, I think grateful especially in recent times, just because of the year that Asian Americans had, but for the community that is available, you know, that is like here. I know it wasn't always that way. You know, it's sort of this thing that's like, oh, thanking those that came before you. But, you know, the whole thing, it kind of now actually feels very community-based, and like finally maybe that has been the case, but at least even to a greater degree, because I think people are seeing the value of Asian American community. And
I think so. I think that we're totally like Asian Americans are definitely like we could talk about the year in general, but like overall – Asian Americans had a great year as far as media stuff went. Like, sure. We just like, there were so many more opportunities for Asian artists to do what they're currently doing. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that like, there were a lot of Asians that didn't necessarily like maybe think about that before, but like now that it's a thing, I think that everybody is now like coming together a lot more, and everybody's really excited about it. And because of that, a lot of the artists and people that are in our community there's a lot of like positive byproducts of that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more opportunities for like you and for other people that we know to like get cool like things when they might have not necessarily had to think about it before.
Yeah, interesting. So can I ask you about like what it was like you making, you know, maybe around this time as well, when you're talking about the 24 to 26, or like the sort of beginnings of you diving into music and anything, I guess, in the realm, because you're obviously involved in so many things, media based and otherwise. What was that like? What was that like going in, kind of?
It was exactly what I said. It never got better. Like, I just,
But
like you learn to, it's at what level you accept it. Mm-hmm. If you accept it at a younger age, and I didn't accept it at a younger age, like I had this weird anxiety because I couldn't like accept the fact that like I needed stability, but I also needed freedom. I think that's ultimately the struggle that's defined my life so far. Actually, all right. So have you heard of Primal Astrology?
No. Primal Astrology.
So I learned about it. I'm a skeptic. I don't believe in stuff. Like, I don't really like zodiac signs. Like, I don't care. Okay, like, your lunar New Year animal. Like, I've got no idea how that, like, relates right. to you.
It's strange stuff. But people love it here in Los Angeles.
They do. But I found this thing called Primal Astrology because I was having a conversation with another skeptic friend. Mm-hmm. And she brought this up because she was like, this is the most accurate thing that's ever been written about me before. And so, and she was also like, I didn't believe it when I was told about it. But then I looked up my sign. I think it's a combination of zodiac as well as lunar, as well as like other things. So it's based off your birth date as well as your year.
Okay.
And then they give you an animal. And then anyway, it goes like really, really, because some stuff is just there to validate your existence. It's like, you're a good person. You're going to like do great things and make.
Sounds great. Yeah.
But this one like goes in like, it's very critical of like you as a human being and like just explains it. Actually, we're going to look you up right now.
Oh,
let's
God.
Do that.
Okay.
All right.
Shoot.
So
this is intense.
We're going to do this live on the podcast.
Well, I like the idea that it combines both, because I would say the weird thing about Lunar New Year animal, like Chinese zodiac or whatever you want to call it, it's like everyone in your year is the same.
Yes.
So I remember when we would do this in like, I think we did in like first grade, and I was like, oh, we're all the dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it.
Like, you mean me and like the guy who always is very disruptive in
we're
class,
the same
the
person.
Same personality.
All right. What year are you?
Oh, 94.
94. All right. And then what's your birth date?
August 2nd.
August 2nd.
That's
all right.
For
so
wanting to buy me a gift this year.
So you, I don't even know what animal that is. This is interesting because if you look at all of the other animals, it's like bee, chameleon, and then maybe it's a dog. Oh,
it's a Shih Tzu dog.
Shih Tzu dog. Okay.
Oh wow, so it's a specific breed of dog that they're assigning.
They go deep into it. Like, you can be a boxer or a retriever. Anyway, confirming, you said 1994.
Yeah.
August 2nd.
Great. And this is if you just Google Primal Astrology, there's like a key thing that you can follow the links. Okay.
Totally not sponsored by them, but I just believe. All right, so. You are a Shih Tzu, and it literally means lion dog in Chinese. So it's the only natural. So it's only natural that those born under the primal zodiac sign share the tropical sun sign of Leo. Is that true?
Right. Yeah. So
and
that
then
makes
you're
sense.
The
so
dog.
It's a lion and dog. Like,
wow.
Just the intersection of those two guys.
And then members of the sign are kind, loving, and generous. Their deepest hope is to play an integral role in making their surroundings better. This is almost always appreciated by others, but Shih Tzus also have a tendency to become bossy and can become moody to the point of acting childish if they don't get
Sounds
to be in charge.
Right. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Over time, Shih Tzus learn that they will eventually get what they want if they focus on giving instead of receiving. Anyway, it's kind of a long thing, but like...
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely look that up.
Go in on it a little bit later on. But I am the sign of a coyote. I'm a coyote.
Ooh.
And...
Wait, so are you also dog or...
I'm year of the ox.
The okay, ox and then what's your
I'm name? Year of the ox, Gemini.
Oh, okay, right. That's like a...
Which actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, like actually Gemini. Defines because Gemini's
twin dudes.
There's twin sides of you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then year of the ox is like naturally like a stubborn. I don't know. So
coyote.
What they said about me though is ultimately going back to what we were originally talking about. It literally says like your life's purpose is that there's a struggle between like stability and freedom. Coyotes like want to be off and be independent and be on, but you also have this need to like have something grounded. And so, and a lot of your decisions are going to be made based off of like that kind of environment. So for me, what that means is that I've accepted it. Like I'm okay with it. And I actually think that like that struggle is like what actually informs my art as well. Like I think that like it really like it gives me whatever that drive is to like have to like do my art, but then it also like it allows me to like I'm a lot more independent. Like it just makes me like want to, because I need both of those things. I couldn't be in just a strictly stable job, and I couldn't be like in a strictly like just have all the freedom in the world.
Okay.
And so I need like both of those things, like leveraging both of those sides of me. So for me, that's what it is. Do you feel the same way? Like, do you need like for you like do you need that? I don't want to call it fear, but like, do you need that fear to like be driven?
Oh, I see. And that would be like the stability part kind of.
Yeah, needing the stability, but also like needing the freedom.
Yeah, I see. No, that's, first of all, I guess I really like that. I've never heard anybody coin stability versus freedom in that way. So that's really enlightening. I think, I mean, I guess I felt like when I was still a student and there was that much stability already built in, I was definitely like, oh, I just want to not be here and like have freedom, right? And then now that I'm like, okay, whoa, too much freedom. need to reel it back a little bit. So totally. And I wonder, I always just thought that was just wanting to find the middle, you know, as a human being, and everybody kind of felt that way. But I can see definitely never wanting to be too far on the stability side. And for sure, that doesn't bother some people, you know? Yeah. And then of course there's the folks who are like freedom all the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a pretty, I mean, I do feel like that is kind of a natural human thing. And then maybe it's just about finding where you land on that spectrum. But for you, like, did you feel as if the, like, when you're in it now and you found sort of this balance, is it because you, do you feel like you're more on the freedom side or on the stability side, or?
I actually have not found that balance yet. Okay. And so, like, that's why I actually think the whole Gemini thing, like, I think that I'm constantly either, like, I'm on one side of the spectrum or I'm on the other side of the spectrum.
Oh, at a given time?
At a given time. Oh, okay, and cool. So I think that, like, sometimes I feel, like, a lot of stability, mm-hmm. and then sometimes I feel a lot of freedom. Mm-hmm. And I guess eventually that does balance itself out. But for me, like, I need, again, I don't want to call it fear, but, like, I kind of need that fear to, like, kick me in the ass to, like be driven and to do the things that I need to do, or else, like, then I don't know what happens if I'm not doing that. So I kind of like both of those things. But it is something that I think has definitely, like, driven my worldview and allowed me to have been doing the things that I'm currently doing.
Cool. Yeah, that's fun. And then also the coyote thing, I just realized. I remember hearing, because coyotes are, like, all here in the city all the time. And they're, like, the one wild animal that can survive in the city, I heard, because they're monogamous.
Mm.
And they're able to, like, if the, or they're monogamous for, like, long term. So, like, if the dad can go while the mom's with the kids and
really?
Get food, or vice versa. And, like, most animals aren't that way. So it's like single parent kind of situation, or, like, whatever. So they all die in the city. I don't know.
That's how they can survive in the city.
So they can survive in the city, and that's why they're all over the place. Like, I mean, I would see coyotes around here all the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so you can also survive in the city.
I didn't realize that. I guess that,
I don't know how true that is.
When you said that they could survive in the city, that makes sense to me. But I thought it was because maybe they're just really good, like, scavengers.
Well,
and that they can, like, do, and they can obviously, like, fight off, and they can just survive in that element.
Yeah, maybe that too. Yeah. I'm sure it's all part of it. But yeah, maybe, I don't know.
That's but I guess surviving as a species, though, being able to have that.
Raise the children.
Exactly.
All the things. But yeah, good, you know, stability. Situation.
Do you think the coyotes know that they're monogamous? Like, is that something they like? Is it just like an innate thing that they?
There's like the one dad coyote who's like, oh, I'm not built to be monogamous. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I don't know. I guess maybe it's just like a survival thing that worked out, you know, like evolutionarily.
Because I've thought about it like in the same way I think about. Like, do dogs, like, if a dog, like, steps on something and, like, it hurts their paw?
Yeah.
Like, a moment later, after they feel that pain, are they like, oh, that, do they recognize that they just got hurt by that thing?
Like, how much consciousness?
Or do they just immediately, just go back to, like, oh, I'm happy again. I'm a dog.
No, like, people don't know. I mean, no, I think there's definitely some, like, animal psychologists who can confirm certain things for sure. But I remember just hearing probably was on a podcast, but hearing somebody talk about the fact that, like, with animals, you don't really know if they also have, like, are they thinking about other things while they're living? Like, the way that we, you know, are never really in the moment. It's like, oh, I thought about, like, that embarrassing interaction where I said that thing and I meant to say that and, oh, no, and I'm thinking about that in another moment. And maybe evolutionarily, like, that's great because then that helps us prepare and get better for the future. But, like, in this current age, it's also, like, very much why everybody's anxious and why people have, you know, a lot of depression and stress.
Yeah.
But what do dogs do that? I don't know. Probably we would assume not, but we don't really know.
We don't know.
I'm sure there have been experiments to try and test for that, but, like, interesting question, I guess.
I would assume at a very base level that, like, from the evolutionary standpoint, that they recognize that if they continue to do a certain habit, that they shouldn't do that. Like, that's how you train dogs. You get them to, like, this is, like, why they know that they shouldn't, like, poop or pee inside. They have to do it on the outside.
Right.
And, like, otherwise, that's, like, something that's stuck in them.
Totally.
But whether or not, like, I think, I kind of think that, like, if a dog hurts themselves or, like, if they experience, like, if they get scared, like, a moment later, they're not scared. They're just back to being happy.
Like, they can, like, move on. That's a very beautiful thing. And I wish I could do that, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's, like, the bell thing, the Pavlov. Those are the dogs.
Yes.
So that makes sense. But yeah, who knows? Dogs are crazy.
Yeah. This is what the podcast is about, right?
Yeah. I mean,
talking about, like,
we're just pissed off all the time.
Animal podcast, yeah.
unless we can be in charge.
This was the dream, right? To have an animal podcast?
Oh, I mean, yeah. This is what it's evolved into. I'm just going to totally rebrand before this gets released.
Have all the guests come back on and like...
Yeah, I'm like, hey, look, I'm so sorry. I know I asked you to come out here before. But like,
the podcast has changed.
Yeah,
and
dogs.
We need to... Yes.
We're talking dogs and only dogs. Do you have a dog?
I don't, but I really do.
Yeah?
I really do like dogs, though. You know what? I actually... This is unpopular opinion. So I like dogs. I get why people have them. I don't need it though.
Okay.
So
no, that's very healthy.
And if I had but I'm not opposed to it. Like if I had a dog, I'd be like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
But I don't have that need in me to like get a dog though.
Totally.
Yeah.
I feel like that sounds very normal and healthy because you're not like dependent on another creature.
Exactly.
But that is. I guess like the one thing too is it's like, you know, it takes a lot of, if I had like a person who could like take care of it for me and I could play with it when I wanted to. Yeah. But don't have that. Definitely. So it definitely actually takes time.
Yeah.
And I think it's responsible to think about that.
Exactly.
Ahead of time.
All right. Let's reverse course and go back to what you were saying before about the,
sorry,
all right.
I'm taking us off course because
no, I was,
but I don't know. I mean, you also said the whole like, you know, it doesn't get better thing, which I do love because I remember, I think I was watching an Anna Kana video, which like a friend of ours, right? And she had this really good video on like how to be happy is like be happy now, because typically we're sort of like, oh, when we attain that one thing, we'll probably be happy. And I think I totally do that in the sense that, you know, there's sort of this idea like, oh, well, maybe once I achieve some sort of stability while doing the career I enjoy, then I'll be happy, right? But... then the point was that like then you keep moving the goalposts and that sort of the acceptance of like it doesn't get better, or even though that sounds sad, but it doesn't get better, or I also like, you know, you're never going to feel like it, you know, also just for getting things done, it's like, well, you're never going to feel like it, so don't wait to feel like it, just do it now.
I think is great, and I think a better way to rebrand that statement is that like it's the journey. It's really less about like it not getting better. It's more of like it's just all a part of the journey.
I think
that's ultimately like if you talk to anybody at a later stage in their life, they're going to talk about like how much that they enjoyed that journey of like what it got them to like get to the place they're currently at. And so I think that like having that stick and carrot and like realizing there's always going to be something that you can probably do better is like it's a positive thing. But it also that is what like creates anxiety for us.
Okay.
Question. All right. So if like, is there a world where, like, everybody can be happy? Does that exist?
Like, the world, this world planet?
Yeah, like, I was thinking about that. Like, all right, so I listened to a podcast. And, and they were talking about and it got me thinking more about the happiness thing. But they were talking about, like, universal basic income. And they were talking about, like, if everybody had... was given like $1,000, per month, and everybody just had like a base level of like $12,000, that they didn't have to like worry about. Like, would that, like, how does that improve the world? And then if those people had that money, like, what would they do with the time that maybe they weren't necessarily having to like work with that time? Would they be, like, is that a positive thing for everybody just to have like that base level of stability? And then that got me thinking about like, what about like base level, like happiness? I don't know. Like if everybody was like stable and happy, like, is that a good thing? I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I don't have an answer for you, but.
Big question. I feel like that's such a, you know, especially now when there's such discrepancy and in the US specifically, but it's like, you know, there's the school of thought that it's like, oh, well, it's kind of like conservative versus liberals essentially right now. Right. And so it's the whole, you know, I mean, I feel like I would believe like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's believe in everybody and like that'll be awesome. And I think it would be great if people didn't have to worry about all that, you know, if that was taken care of. And I guess, I don't know, I'm thinking about income because you brought up the income thing. But I mean, if it's just like, do you think everyone could be happy at a certain point? Like, hopefully. But you know, I don't know. It's weird because happiness is like a weird word too. And I don't think people were as concerned about happiness like a generation ago.
Totally.
Right? So that's like a thing that's really like hot right now. And I wonder, I always like thinking about like what the textbooks will say, because I guess, you know, history nerd kind of thought, but it is like, okay, you know, in when everybody's dead, who we know right now, what will the textbooks say? So there's not any like personal tie to the story. And you know, maybe it'll be a thing where it's like, oh, everybody got really into podcasts and like really navel gazing, yeah. You know? Like, so I don't even know if that is as important as I make it out to be, because I'm in that, this like,
this
bubble,
world,
this bubble of like, happiness is so important. Yeah. And like, if you find happiness, you won't need all the money in the world, yes. You know? Yeah.
So. And how lucky are we that we can like,
oh, have, I know. Yeah, it's yeah. Such a luxury, right? Like, yeah. I mean, if you talk to like our grandparents, they'd be like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What is this word?
One of the things that I have been all about, and like the way that I talk about like our generation, or like what it is that like, or like first generation, like Asian Americans, or like our parents that came from another country to get here. And then like our existence, like being in America, like our parents' generation, or like even like the generation, your second generation, third generation.
I guess technically fourth, but it's
your like family's been in the US for a while.
So yes.
Yeah. So even, I would even actually generally say that like, because your parents have been in the US like for a little while, that maybe your parents had some time to like self-actualize.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
yeah. They were able to like think more about like, who am I? What am I doing? Yeah. Uh-huh. Whereas like a lot of the first generation, like Asian people that come from another country, like their purpose is just to exist. Like they just need to survive.
Yeah.
And they want to like make sure their kids are like better. And so like, but their goal, like they don't have the time to like think about like, what is happiness to me? Like what is it? But we're in the position where we can like think about that. And I think that's why like lately mental health has been such like a big, like, I don't want to call it like a craze, but like, it's just something that people are talking about a lot more. And I think that it generally has to do with the fact that like a lot of, one, the technology is there where people can like speak out about like this thing. But then secondly, the people that are like in that position where they're like really going through a lot of stuff, like I think you hit that when you're like in your 30s, because you're like balancing a lot of like, am I stable? Am I free? Do I have enough? Can I provide for like, if I'm going to get married soon, like, can I provide for a lot of that? And so I think that a lot of people have grown into that age. Whereas like even the people that are like 45 or 50, like they were still in a, like they don't really necessarily like care about like thinking about stuff like that as much. But like our generation, like people that are 30, we're like at the peak of the millennials, like we're like, that's our story. Like that's what we're all about as millennials.
Sure.
And so I think that like, there's suddenly been a huge boom of millennials that are at that age now where like mental health has become a thing where we have to think about that. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did you notice that in your own life? Kind of like, did you have a point where you're like, cause I almost feel like my vocabulary wasn't there at a certain point to be like, oh yeah, this is what I might be feeling right now. And like, I think also language doesn't necessarily cover all the feelings.
Well, let me ask you, are you technically a millennial?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are you?
Yeah.
Are you
I
Gen
am.
Z?
I think, no, I'm a millennial. I think I'm kind of at the tail end and then Gen Z is like pretty soon after, but there's so many different cutoffs. So who knows? But
right,
I am
right.
a millennial. Yeah.
The reason I bring that up, listen to another podcast.
Yeah, nice.
They talked about how like millennials are, we have this like issue where we think about like, who is like, what are we? But, and we want more like freedom and like jobs that we really love. But Gen Z actually is actually, they're supposed to be like a better generation than us.
Nice.
Because they grew up in a world where we're back to like fearing, like there's a lot of fear. Like they grew up, like the news is a lot like worse than like when we were growing up.
Shooting drills and shit.
Exactly. Yeah. So they grew up in a world that like has a lot more like fear than like our generation. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, that naturally has Gen Z more or less thinking about like just wanting stability, like just being safe again.
That's like,
and so it reverts
scary
back.
And sad, but yeah interesting. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was, well, because it does feel like, I love to talk about Gen Z. So
yeah,
I love a good Gen Z conversation. But no, I think what I like about it is that, well, they're fascinating. And I think I was thinking about, oh yeah, just in comedy specifically, like there's this new, I mean, a lot is on Twitter, but there's this new kind of, I feel like with the younger comedians, or like the even just what audiences that are Gen Z are drawn to in comedians is like kind of absurdist and weird.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, this is like strange. I mean, it's definitely different. But I think what it does feel like is it's if somebody just has seen everything already by the time they're like 12.
Yeah.
They just have had a phone and they've seen everything and they've watched every TV show.
Yeah.
Starting from decades ago. And then they're like, now what do I actually like? Or what haven't I seen before? And it's just bizarre to think like a younger generation could have actually seen more like in media and you know, that's to take what you want from that. But
so what does that mean for comedy then? Does that mean, you say that they're more into like observational or like more
I think they're just into like weird, bizarre stuff that
okay.
I probably understand, but also don't sometimes.
Give me an example.
Well, I kind of think of, like, do you know Eric Andre?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I kind of feel like he's also appeals to everybody, but I think specifically that sort of thing is maybe, you know, very absurdist and like kind of like, whoa, what am I looking at? And for me, I mean, as a comedy fan, I have seen a lot. So I think seeing something different like that is actually very refreshing. And
yeah.
And I like it as a result, and it seems very great. But say I didn't watch any comedy at all, and then it was like, do you like Jerry Seinfeld or do you like Eric Andre? I'd probably be like, I think I like Jerry Seinfeld better because it makes more sense to me, you know? But I feel like Gen Z is all like, we've seen it all.
Yeah.
Give us something more.
Totally. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the stability thing makes sense too. And that's a little sad, but it does. Yeah. I mean, welcome to the world, you know, like these children who are just exposed.
Robot children. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I'm all about.
Would you have kids? I don't. I mean, I don't know if this is a big question. I know you're.
Wow.
And yeah, we can also talk about your adoption too, which is like very a separate story.
Yeah.
Like very interesting place to come from, and then also I don't know if you're at all thinking.
Sierra had all of these things that like she actually wanted the podcast to be about.
No, I mean,
and then we started talking about dogs and whether or not dogs remember things.
Right. Do dogs remember things? And is Gen Z fated for stability?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we totally are not talking about anything that Sierra wanted to talk about.
I don't even know. It's fine. What I want doesn't matter.
Is this how the conversations usually go? Or like, have you been mainly like when PK was here?
Ooh, yeah.
Like, did you stick to the structure of what you wanted?
I mean,
or did PK go off on like tangents?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody goes on tangents for sure. And I kind of like, that's why we have all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm fine with it. I don't know. I guess like, you know, I don't even know. I did listen to it again recently. Yeah. There were some tangents. Definitely talks, you know, he's PK. He has lots of stories.
What's here saying is that like they generally stayed on topic and then.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's fine. I love it.
The kids question.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's totally something that it's something that I think about a lot more, and especially a lot of my friends. I'm at the age now where a lot of my friends have kids or they're about to have kids. I think generally I've lucked out because I think entertainment industry in general, like the people that I'm surrounded with, all of our friends in the industry, they end up getting married or like they have kids at a much later age because they're like they're focused on themselves and because that's basically what it is.
It's me time.
Yeah. And so like I think that my worldview has been influenced by the fact that like my peers or people that I look up to are like 38 when they have kids eventually, or like they're a little bit older. So that's been like, I think that I've been okay with like where I'm at right now because of that. But yeah, sure. I think that actually that like, and again, going off on the podcast tangent, I listened to a really great podcast recently about like the purpose of kids and the purpose of like marriage.
Yeah, whoa.
And like,
hot topic.
And how like kids, like people had so many kids at like in hunter-gatherer situations, like people just had a lot of kids because they needed like more people to take care of like all of their.
Totally.
It was a utility. Like that's why you had kids.
Yeah.
Was to have like utility. People didn't necessarily like. The concept of love, like I'm sure was kind of there, but like this idea of like loving our kids and our family, I think is actually relatively like more recent.
I think so.
Yeah. I think that a lot of it was based off of like need. And then like after that, over the past 100 years, or for 200 years or so, then like kids became more of like a loving thing. And like, you really wanted to like have like provide for them
Maybe
and
we
do
should...
all these things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever, skin to skin contact or whatever people do.
Yes. So,
yeah, but it's funny because I do think that I think back to like what my great grandparents and then their kids or whatever. It's like, yeah, there's no really like relationship there. I mean, there is, but it definitely feels like it's like, oh, but then, you know, and then we barely kind of talk to them and then like, yep.
Yeah.
And there were nine of us.
Yeah. You need to have nine kids because five of them might die from like.
Oh, God. Yeah. Just a numbers game, honestly.
Yeah. And so like that's why people had like more kids. That's why like it's ridiculous when we think about like my grandma has seven brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Like that's wild.
That's like a whole school bus.
Yeah, and then like the next generation like four kids.
Right.
And now it's now two's like the perfect amount.
Yeah, two max.
Yeah.
And okay. I was in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And there's still a lot of kids there. Like I think I met somebody who had like nine kids and then somebody who had 12.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's a lot of kids. And then I met one of the moms and she was like, yeah, I just had a kid like like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I'm like, you're up and standing around. You came to this comedy show? Like, what are you doing? But they're, I guess they can still pop them out. So
wait, this mom was at the comedy show? This is how you met the mom?
Yeah, because I was doing a comedy show there with some friends and met all the people afterward. And yeah, they were like a few big families. Mm. But the funny thing, the one that had 9 kids, they were all working at his business.
Yes.
So I was like, well, this is great. You guys have built-in employees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can probably work before they turn 16 legally because you're in charge of them.
100%. Yeah. See, that goes back to the utility purpose. Yeah. I'm sure that she loves her kids.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But, that's why a lot of, I think, more manufacturing towns or like towns or like cities where it's more important to have more kids to like support like the family and to be able to do these things. It makes more sense to have more kids.
And it's like built-in babysitters?
Yes. 100%. You ever watch that show with like the family that had like 12 kids?
Yeah, or like, it was bad though, because then they ended up like one of the older kids ended up like assaulting one of the younger kids.
What?
It was bad. Sorry to bring down the mood. But yeah, it was like called 13 and Counting.
Yeah.
And they were literally counting still, like there was still more. Yeah. But yeah, that was bad. Okay, so that was a bad example. But there was also like John and Kate plus 8.
Yeah. Also kind of a bad example. Also, I feel like those kids are like really effed up.
I mean, there's obviously big families that don't have a camera crew following them around that are probably very functional and fine.
Did you know that John like became a DJ or like he went on like they went off on very interesting,
what a
like
pioneering Asian male, you know.
He was the first Asian DJ.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
that's that he inspired Steve Aoki.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, they're best friends.
Oh no. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, but and so the other thing that the podcast talked about was like this idea of like we are going to need to like limit like population control, maybe not necessarily here in the United States or like in like other countries, but there's some countries where like if the concept was instead of having a kid, because instead of like needing the kid to be able to like take care of you later on, mm-hmm. like if that was the utility purpose of like having a kid for you, that like instead of having that additional kid, like what if we just gave you like $1,000 like every single month, so that way you could put that towards your like retirement or like your late, like your healthcare for like when you're older. So that way you could just pay for that and then not need the kid. Like, would that be a way of like controlling population? Part of me thinks, yeah, I think a lot of people would actually take that up on as a possibility. Also speaking of which, like in Tokyo or like in Japan, not Tokyo, in Japan, like they're having a population decrease. Which is like, there's like, they need more kids. Right. Apparently like it seems like a really low amount when you say it out loud, but like I think that like less than 1 million kids were like born this last year in like in Japan, and like their population already is like generally months, right? Like older, and that like they need more people to like take over. Yeah. So they're like putting incentives in. One, they're like, it's like I think they're giving like free like daycare, like just giving like families more of like a, we're gonna make it easier for you to have a kid.
So yeah, the reverse. Yeah, because I know theirs is declining, and like Europe's does decline or was at some point. And yeah, I mean, a lot of it though, like I think for women and the terrible maternity leave that happens in the U.S., like it's just not even a possibility, you know, even they wanted to, or you have to like find. I mean, I guess my sister's like not. Well, I don't know. Everybody's bugging her about having a kid, but that doesn't mean she actually wants to have a kid. But I think she's married, you know, so there's, it's definitely like a possibility at some point too, because they have jobs. But then also it's like, what would, like she has a commute in the morning. Mm-hmm. She's always like, yeah, I mean, I'd literally have to like find another job. At some point there was like a, she would have a worse commute. So it was lucky she got this close commute. It's like all these things that just are not really conducive to it. So why even bother, as terrible that sounds, right? Like there's not as much incentive for people because the workforce is in great fear. And I think a lot of it is archaic stuff from like, oh, back in the day when, you know, it was one parent would work, it was the dude, and then the lady would stay home anyway. But now it's not the case. So like, really need to update our ways of being able to make that a possibility. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the daycare thing seems like a good call though.
Yeah, I'm sure there's things that like could be put in place that I'm trying to think about, like whatever the negative, like how that would end up being a negative thing. I guess we would just need more money. Is it like, it just, it's a tax thing then. You just have to like tax more.
Yeah,
like,
well, because there's terrible social security in general, right? For like folks, or like social security is kind of a pyramid scheme where like you buy in and then like you see if it's going to pay out by the time you're that age. And like for us, I mean, I definitely don't think it will. or it already isn't,
right,
like most people. So, well, we lost, but but yeah, so that is weird. But it is weird that we don't take care of our older folks. You know, it's on your family completely. What if you don't have a family? What if, mm-hmm, you know, your family can't take care of you?
Are you, because your family is several generations into the United States, is your family under the, like, do you have, is there the expectation that, like, when you get older, your parents are going to move in with you? A lot of Asian families.
That's, like, built in, yeah.
You get to, like, 50 or 60, your parents are, like, 80, I don't know. And then you, like, the parents move in with you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's still, like, totally a possibility. I would say, actually, it hasn't happened with their parents. Their parents... One of my grandmothers is still alive, and she like lives in her house. She's like 96. Mm-hmm. She has like a helper, mm-hmm, and so that's, and then she has four kids. So then they each see her one day, you know, 4 days, or actually 3 days, because one kid kind of out of town. But then she comes in and takes care too. So so it's sort of like a team effort. But she stays in her house, and I think that makes sense too.
That's like the positive nature of having more kids.
I know, I know. So I'm like, well, then everybody can take like a couple days, and that's like not as huge of a deal as like all the days.
Yeah.
But I mean. Yeah, so she hasn't moved at all. And then my dad's side, he was in a home for like a bit towards the end. And then, so like that's also a possibility, I guess, but also that's, you know, that's if you can pay for it, right? Yeah. So they were like, they kind of, there's three kids, and then they kind of all, that was sort of like what he saved for too, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I mean, I think it's totally a possibility too, but I wouldn't, because it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that would like, I don't think I've like thought about that as much.
Totally.
But I think if like my grandparents had moved in, I would have been like, oh yeah, I guess that's the deal. And like, we know a lot of families who are like that because Asian, but also just generally that's a thing.
Yeah. Cause a lot of I bring it up mainly because of I've got white parents for those of you.
Yes.
And I grew up in more of a Western like community. And like, it actually, when I look at like any of my worldview of like that situation, generally the parents, like they don't move in with the kids later on. And so, but a lot of my Asian friends with first generation parents, the grandparents definitely move in with the family.
Right. They're like clearing out the bedrooms now.
Yep. I think all of those things basically just reaffirm what we were talking about with, if you had $1,000 to just put towards your like retirement.
Yeah. You could.
Yeah. You would need less kids. Uh-huh. And then you could just use that towards like, maybe that is Social Security. I don't know. Like just having that money later
put it
on.
In the home. Home fund or whatever. Yeah. Like, helper fund.
And then you don't need kids.
You don't need kids. Get rid of those kids.
Yes.
but yeah, that's a fascinating thing. I guess like, I don't know. I mean, that's the other thing, because you also don't know how you're going to be towards the end. this is all really heavy stuff, but like for sure, you know, if there's other people who, if you have like a dementia situation, that's going to be a lot more difficult and harder for your kids to lean on. You're going to lean on your kids more.
Mm-hmm.
And then some, like my grandma was pretty self-sufficient. Like she is old now, so it's like a little harder, but and she's got like a ton of grandkids, and then she has like some great grandkids now, which is crazy. So then like we can all at least kind of be in there, but also if you know, are far geographically from them, then that's a whole thing too.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Exactly.
But do you think you would you take the money?
I don't know.
If it existed, or I don't know.
I think regardless of whether or not I would take the money, I definitely would want to still have kids then.
Right, yeah.
So maybe it would limit the amount of kids that like I would ultimately get.
Well, how do they measure that? That's the question. Because it's like, what if you're bluffing? You're like, I want to have 18 kids. I guess you're going to have to pay me $18,000.
They would. I'm sure that they would have a way of, maybe there's like a device that they would put into the woman. And
to like, measure how many kids who knows, but I don't know, that's a little scary. I don't know, there's like this movie on Netflix called What Happened to Monday, and it's about like them limiting the child to the like one child policy situation. But specifically it was also in a world where they had some malfunction where everybody was having like quadruplets, so they had to like trade places.
That
so
is like, fascinating.
Oh, one person, actually we're four people. It was an interesting dystopian thing, but
I need to watch that really quick. I need to use the restroom.
Can we
pause?
Yeah, all right,
I'm back.
And we're back after that short commercial break.
Is that where all the advertisers come in? I'm a big fan of like the podcasting, like how they do their ads. I think podcasters like have done it, like there's some people that are like really really creative, because the ones that I think the ones that are my favorite are the ones where like it seems like they don't care about the product at all, and they just talk about it and they just like riff on the product.
Like the name or something.
I listen to podcast Pod Save America. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, like whenever they do their like advertising breaks, they just talk about like the product, but like in a really like offhand way. And you could tell that like they have no opinion.
Sure, yeah. Like I kind of see a little bit. Yeah, I mean, most of the time samples are sent, right? So then they kind of at least do have some relationship with like, oh, I slept on this mattress. But I'm like, also, like, because like, you know how that, what kind of, is it the Casper mattress or something that gets advertised? I'm like, did you actually like get a whole mattress and then swap out your existing mattress just to do this ad? But I guess if it's that good and it's free.
I like to think in a dream world they did.
Yeah.
And then also the Quip toothbrushes.
Oh yeah, I got.
I hear
my boyfriend bought those. I was so
because of the podcast.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know.
You think so?
I don't know. I'm sure because he does listen to podcasts. That's right. But I was so mad because I'm like, we can get, because my parent, like my dad is a dentist, so I'm like, oh, we just get all the toothbrushes because
you could ever want.
Like, yeah, I mean, sure, they're not Quip.
Yeah.
But like, I was very like, oh, we wasted so much money. Does
your father endorse Quip? Like, is Quip a good thing?
I don't even know if he knows about it. I think from my
Does your boyfriend like it?
I think Quip a good thing? I mean, I don't know. It's just like it's like electric toothbrush kind of thing. But, you know, I don't know. I just think all these things what my parents have to say is like just the normal one that you brush with your hand is probably the best because then you're, I mean, I don't know. Tried and true.
Yeah.
We haven't been brushing our teeth for centuries, but now we are, and now this is what we do.
Only because you have the toothbrush. Yeah, you had to get the Quip before you could start brushing your teeth.
Exactly.
Again.
Yeah.
I respect that.
That's fair. But yeah, what were you going to say about the Quip?
Oh, no, that's it.
Oh, just that.
So back to population control.
Yeah. Sure. So how do we save the world?
We're hitting all of the things that Sierra really wanted to talk about.
Well, I mean, this stuff is interesting because I think it's a big part of also what fuels our like anxiety these days, right? It's just like the idea of like, oh, and then the world is also like limited. So how are we going to cope with that? And I think that's like what, and they interview these Gen Z kids, get back to Gen Z, is like, that's on their mind a lot. And they're like children, but they're like, yeah, well, you know, on top of stressing about the fact that like I might get shot at school, I also worry about the fact that like plastic's going to kill everybody, you know? Like, so I think there's a lot of that plays into all this kind of general stuff, even though on a personal level, it might feel not applicable, but like, it does feel applicable now. I don't know.
My two thoughts on that. The first thing is, so if our media just became like, if you basically could be in a situation where you actually were like numb to like a lot, or like you didn't like hear about all of these bad things, it was still happening. All of these things were like still existing, but like, you just didn't, for whatever reason, like you just don't hear about it. Like it's happening, but you're just like, you're dumb to that fact. Like, is that a world that you'd want to live in? I kind of like, I'm trying to think about whether or not, like, are we generally in like a worse world than like our parents did back in the 50s or 60s when like there was only like three news stations and like everything you heard was basically the only information you were getting? Like, are we that much better, or is it like, are we actually like in a different world and like things are like actually a lot worse now than they used to be?
Right. Yeah. People, I think, ask that a decent amount because there is so much sensationalizing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's a good question. I think to a certain extent I do tune out and I don't even mean like, well, I used to get like the pop-up notifications from the news, and there was a time where I'm like, yeah, this is going to stop. I can't do this anymore. To a certain extent I do live in that world. And then to a certain extent we do live in that world because like in the US or like whatever you want to call it, or like in my little bubble of like being me, like I definitely am already on that spectrum somewhere, right? Yep. So, yeah, but
like I would think
I don't
that
even know what that means.
Like I think that things are like, I think some things are worse now, but then also like a lot of things are like a lot better,
right?
And so, but like, and then when you look back in like, I don't know, the 70s or 60s, like I'm sure that like stuff back, like some of the stuff was probably a lot worse than it is now, but some of the stuff was probably a lot better.
Like environmental or like just general?
As a very basic, like silly example, base level example, like Halloween, like kids could just walk around whenever they wanted to, and they could just go like to parks and like they could just walk around the neighborhood and like just do Halloween. And it was a lot, I don't necessarily know if it was like safer, but like generally people were like a lot better with just having their kids go out. Now it's a lot more controlled. Like people aren't, racism still exists, but to the extent like where it was a lot worse for people of color like back in the day versus now. Like some things were, but so some things were like worse then, things are better now for like that. People are more controlling.
I see what you mean. Because I think there's a lot of talk of like we, I mean, the news definitely, but also as it's human nature not to notice things getting better or like to, and I think that's just because we get adjusted to the norm and then we're like trying to keep our standards high and work towards getting even better. We don't want to be complacent, but.
Yeah.
But for sure, some things, you know, we forget or like don't appreciate like, oh, yeah, actually things are better. And, you know, that's maybe we don't have to be so scared to, you know, send our kids out to walk down the street or whatever. Still scary. But like it's so funny because I remember a friend's dad saying that when he was like 6 years old, his parents like, hey, again, it's sort of the thing with the relationship where maybe they didn't really care that much either. Yeah. But no, but then they let him like bike all the way down to the city and like he was six and like what is it, what are you, you're biking and you're six and then you're like going to meet some man to like work something. I mean, it was like it was bizarre. I mean it was fine, right? Thank God. But it's just funny how different things are, and for sure like we're a little bit more like it's kind of the helicopter parent thing is
so would you so if you had the option of just like totally like not have, but it still exists.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so, only because it would just feel so. Like I think to an extent,
but you also wouldn't feel like, but you also wouldn't like feel that need, like you need to know. You would just like you'd just be without it.
Well then, yeah, but then I don't know.
It really is just ignorance is bliss. Like you just like go around like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess so. But then that's sort of like a whole question of like, well then, does it exist? You know, I don't know, right? I mean, I think I'm thinking like it's like when people worry about like dying. It's like, well, hopefully, as long, you know, it's not painful, whatever. But then if you're dead, hopefully you aren't aware you're dead.
Yeah,
sort of like that.
No, totally. Right? And I guess that like you and I are in more of a position where like, again, we're self-actualizing like all the time. We're thinking about who we are like all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, that's just the nature of like who we are as people. But like if you had, if there was a world and like, I guess that would just make you a completely different person. So I guess Sierra right now wouldn't be able to answer that question. Like Sierra right now, like that's not something that you would want to do. Right. But like different Sierra, like Sierra in a different
totally
world.
I mean, totally unaware, like erase your memory kind of thing, like Men in Black. Like, okay, well, you didn't know about Men in Black because you erased your memory.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, sure, that sounds great, but to actively choose that, I don't know if I could ever make that bridge across.
There was a great little movie, little cinema that came out, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Right.
Which kind of played with that idea of being able to like erase significant memories and whether or not it's better for you to like know it or better for you not to have known it.
What do you think?
I learned from Jim Carrey in that movie that it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Right. So it was better for him to have those memories than for him not to.
Yeah. And I think, that's sort of like the journey-based thing. It's all related, but for sure, I am a believer in that quote as well. Like just sort of living through things because, you don't want to be... I don't know. You don't want to be too...
Because that's the human experience.
yeah. It's part of it.
Or like a Truman Show experience. Like, would you...
Oh, God.
Yeah, like if everything was just like
another
controlled.
Another Jim Carrey great.
We're just going to start talking about Jim Carrey movies.
Yeah, what a star. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah, that was bizarre too. Yeah, I know. It's like so many questions. There's like no right answer. And for sure, like to a certain extent, I kind of feel like we're living in that anyway. You know, not in like a... Not like Truman Show, but that there are certain things we don't know about our existence that's different from other people's existence that like we can't dispute and feel like, oh, well, I'm on this high horse of like knowing everything. I'm not. But for sure, I think I couldn't revert if you wanted, you know, nobody really can, but and then if you
erase, but you want to.
I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't but actively is it, choose to revert. And then
so is this stuff, is this stuff that you think about like right now, like not right now, but like, is this stuff that you think about in general? Or am I like, or
the, oh, these sort of like these
yeah,
things?
These, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't thought about this sort of thing in, I don't, yeah, I don't, not really, because I mean, I think especially at the current moment, everything feels sort of like, well, we're at this crucial time where I think it's more about like, I've been really fixated on like privilege and everything and the fact that like I have so much, you know, being born here already and doing all these things and doing, you know, the sort of freedom stability thing too of being able to pursue, you know, and navel gaze and be all like self-actualizing. So that's been at the forefront of my mind of being like, well, you're here, so be grateful for it. So like do this.
Yep.
And then, you know, I think sometimes thoughts about like, well, what if I could, not know certain things or whatever feel to me a little bit like, well, I don't want to be ungrateful and then think that like there is a better way to live out there because I got like I pulled a pretty good whatever.
Totally.
What is the, I don't know. I you know, I'm lucky at the moment. So I'm trying to, I've been focusing on that a lot, but no, I do like all that stuff. I mean, especially those movie references are like, whew, sometimes you watch those movies and you're like, I can't, I don't know. That's that heavy stuff. I kind of wanted to just watch a nice movie and now.
Exactly. But now but thinking, it definitely drives into like, I don't know if I was necessarily like thinking about this stuff at like when I was 24, but like it's stuff that I'm thinking about right now. Mm. And I don't know whether or not I would have been thinking about it. Like if somebody had given me the option to think about this stuff at like 24 or 25, like would it have, like where would that have, I'm not sure if like any of this is like tangible advice that like you're getting and you're like, oh, this is going to like, and I'm not saying it should, but I do wonder whether or not like, It's something that I think about now and that I think that is, if I have like any advice or like thing to say about the world, like that's my thing to say, or like that's what I'm thinking about now. And cool, it might be something that maybe you'll think about like when you get to like 30 or something. I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. No. Interesting. Okay. Good to know that that's like what you're, yeah. Cause I think sometimes people do tell me things or give me good advice and like, you know, and it does make sense, or like, but then it also makes sense in a different way, like later on too, just the way that like you're at what moment in your life you're at. And I'm like, oh, now I get it even more. Like you're in the shower and you're like, oh, I get that joke, you know?
Totally.
but that's cool. So it's sort of like the idea of, you know, so you ask these questions more as like an exercise of like getting to know what you actually want out of life and memory, or like what are you kind of
seeing
as those?
I guess I just bring it up. Yeah. It's stuff that I think about now and that I don't think that I was thinking about it when I was like 24 or 25. I wasn't having the existential like moments that I'm currently having when I was younger. Okay. And in me like talking about it, like from the perspective of like talking about like anxiety or like the freedom stability thing like back then versus like now, if this is stuff that like is interesting for you to think about like in your life.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff. I think it's also like such that is now, as we talked about, like with everybody kind of that being the hot thing right now. It's just like we're all wanting to kind of examine, you know, live the examined life or whatever.
And also in the same way, so going back to the universal basic income, like what happens if there just like wasn't like a need, because as everything becomes more automated, like if there, they brought it up in the same podcast, but if there wasn't a need for like manufacturing jobs or like just basic like or service level jobs, all of that was just being taken care of by like robots.
Right.
But on the positive side though, everybody like had, it didn't impact people. And so like, for whatever reason, like people still like were able to like, they were given money or like they have money to be able to survive. And so what do you do with that? So does that mean everybody becomes like professional podcaster? Like, what do they do with like, so after that happens, like what is, the purpose of work? Like what do you,
right?
Yeah. I mean, what if work become, does everybody just become artists and like, then like art becomes commerce and like, that's like how we, that's the entire like existence of like our economy. Like I it's something that I think about too in that level.
Cool. Yeah. That is cool, because I think whenever we talk about the whole like automation taking over, it's just a scary thought of like, and then everybody's going to be unemployed. Yeah. And then Terminator happens. But luckily, like if there is the hypothetical of like, yeah, what are we actually meant to do as humans, you know? And you reach a certain point where like you have kind of evolved where you're able to not do a lot of those things, just in the way that like industrial revolution made a lot of things more, gave a lot of people more time too, even though it's also really terrible. But yeah, that's a scary thing. I think like, oh, well, I think I talked about this a lot with sort of just the idea that like, I think a lot of us are really scared about what it will do. And then like there's such a already very clear, like, oh, Amazon's taking over and like Jeff Bezos is really rich, but yet then the people who are like delivering the packages have to pee in bottles because they're not given any breaks.
Yep.
So there's like that part of it. But I think the maybe not as popular, but also like very capitalist view is that like any and all these developments, though they do have like growing pains set on a personal story level. And I think, as an empathetic human being, we would find problematic. At least there's the consolation of like all technological advances do kind of like improve, you know, hopefully that's sort of like a rising tide lifts all boats sort of situation. So the fact that like the car was invented, sure, it really put a lot of like horse drivers out of business. But then, I mean, I'm glad I have a car and it saves me a lot of time. Then I go to the grocery store, and then like hopefully then you can like contribute back to society in a way for that time that it saved, even though, yes, the horse industry died. Yep. I don't know. Like, that's like a weird example, but I think that's sort of like what people who are in that robotics industry, who everybody's like, dude, just stop working because we're going to die. Stop working. Yeah. And then they're like, no, but actually, you know, if I make this robot arm really efficient, like we're all going to have so much time because we don't have to like, I don't know what I feel like we have all the technology, but yeah, we don't know what we don't know yet. Yeah. So
I do think
there's that.
Yeah. I 100% think that like there is a, there's no tangible way to like, I think provide an example of like a similar situation of like when automation becomes a thing.
Right.
But I think it's going to be so vastly different, but it will be, excuse me. So we don't know what that is yet, but it will be at the same level as like, yeah, like the car and horse example.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it will, cause people, unfortunately, yeah, some people, it is going to enfranchise like a lot of people, but the next generation that's growing up that already acknowledges that this stuff exists, they're going to be growing up in another kind of world, and there's going to be something that's different that they have to like think about at that moment whenever that happens.
Yeah. And hopefully like have the resources to do so, kind of thing.
Speaking of which, isn't it like crazy that like our I think about my grandma and the fact that like she grew up in a time, like she went from like no TV to like virtual reality in her lifetime. Oh, yeah. Isn't that like wild?
Yeah, wow. Because it's
like, isn't it like watching her like use a tablet is like the most fascinating. I'm like, that's so fucking cool that you went from like not having anything like this to like being able to read a book on a tablet. Like, isn't that like wild?
Yeah. I mean, that's hilarious because I feel like my grandma doesn't know how to use a lot of things. It would be cool. But yeah, that's cool that your grandma knows how to
but the fact that like that exists like in her time frame.
That like what are we gonna see kind of at that age too?
Like, yeah, like I don't know like what
much changed.
Yeah, like it's very possible for us though that I don't know if whatever the next generation of the next thing, I think it's going to be amazing, but like, I think that we're already with the mindset that like technology exists and that like something like this, like there's a world that like lives that we can already like see. Being able to like grow up in a situation where there's no TV and now virtual reality, like those are, you don't even think that something like that could ever exist.
Totally. Cause that's like the technological revolution or whatever you want to call it, information age or whatever. It just like was exponential. And everything. Like, I don't know if it slows down at any point, but it is wild. That's hilarious. I think it's funny thinking about how like when the TV came out, people were like, it's the devil.
Yeah.
It's taking away everything. You're like, okay, now we're fully surrendered to our phones and everything. But I mean, what do you think about social media and everything that it brings?
I like it because, all right, so here's why I like social media. I think that I benefit personally a lot by the fact that like I grew up in a situation where I didn't have to be on social media when I was younger, and then I got it at the right age. Like Facebook became a thing when I was in college. Cool. And so like I was without it, and like MySpace and what's it called? Friendster like existed like my senior year of high school. So I was old enough that like I had already been without it, and then I got it, and like I'm still at an age right now where like I've been able to like control that level of like being without it and now having it. So I like where I'm at with social media. I don't like where like I don't think that it's necessarily healthy for like our parents or like older generations to have social media, because like they were like without it for a really long time of their lives, and now it exists, and now when something's shiny and new, you just want to be it all the time. And so I actually think that it like adversely affects like older generations, because like then they become even more lonely, or like even more like they don't necessarily know how to think about it in a way that like we're thinking about it. They're still smart people. Like they still like can see the signs of it, but like they're thinking about it in a different way than like I'm thinking about it. And then I also don't like the younger generations, like just growing up on social media. I think that's going to have a very negative impact on like our society in general. So, that's my overall view. Cool. And so I like social media for me. Like I enjoy the fact that like I've got it. I can control my level of it. Like I'm not like in the situation where I'm old enough now where like if I was in like high school or like college, I'd probably hate social media. Because you're just like looking at your friends, like hoping that like I've got more likes than like one friend, or like looking at like people that are like better looking than you. Sure. And then like that just definitely adversely affecting you.
Totally.
How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I
because you did like Instagram was a thing when you were in college.
Yeah.
Maybe not right. Not so much like right now. Like
now when, it's huge,
but now it's huge.
Yeah, I would say it was a little bit less, and like Facebook's definitely the thing that is prevalent still for like me. But then I'm not on it that much because of that. Like I think it became very dark and like just a lot of long statuses and like, I can't do this. But. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do feel like I agree that I'm grateful that it's sort of like at least somewhat was introduced, and so everybody's very self-aware about it.
Yeah.
Versus like if it was a shiny new toy or something where I'm like, oh, okay, like plunge right in. Yeah. No caution at all. But I still like totally am on it too much, you know, and I think I've had to be told sort of like, oh, yeah, social media is not actually a substitute for interaction. Yeah. Not like by somebody personally, but listening to podcasts or listening to conversations and be like, oh yeah, I think I was subconsciously maybe substituting that, or thinking like, oh well, I know what's going on in their life because I saw their feed, but like I really don't, and like nobody would know what's going on in my life just from reading my feed, so I should definitely apply that to other people too.
Yeah.
And like actually try to interact. So I think there's a little bit like, I don't know, maybe that's just my the nature too of just kind of being in this like freelancy career too, where I'm like not always going to the same office every day. Yeah. So there's a little bit of a dependence on like, oh, to keep up with some people regularly, I will just go on the internet because like that's easy. But for sure, it's not.
So are you asking that question in the mindset of like, were you wondering my opinion about like, how do I feel about like Insta famous people and like,
no, not even like
and like social media just like destroying, like especially like being in our industry that like we're all just, we're constantly on it. Like, I fucking hate, like, Insta-famous people. Like, that's my opinion. Yeah. Like, is it,
not even about, like, other people. I just think that, for me, it's, like, kind of a...
I just gave you my overall view of
something. That's what I was looking for, actually.
Yeah.
Just to see how it affected you personally, because it is such a hot topic, too, of this sort of mental health situation, where, like, that actually does contribute, whether mostly negatively.
Yeah.
And so, I just wonder kind of what...
I'll say like as a grown man, like I definitely care if people are liking my photo. Like it, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, and I look at like, and I'm around so many with the nature of who we are, and like I'm just around like so many YouTubers and like Instagram famous people.
Which is important.
And like it does impact my view of myself a lot of the times. So, and it's
natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because I almost feel like it was like kind of a running joke, but the idea that Instagram and like followers or likes or whatever you want to call it is actually a quantitative thing, which shouldn't be that, like we're always looking for like that quantifiable value of ourselves, and like there it is, you know, maybe it's also like net worth or like whatever,
but yeah, no,
there it is right there for everybody to see, you know, here's a number, it goes up and down
exactly. Yeah. So I can't even imagine so like funny. Younger kids like having to go through that right now, because they're just less developed and like having to like think about stuff like that.
Right.
So like as a grown person, like at my age, like I definitely care. Like they probably care way more than I do.
Yeah. I think that's and I don't have a lot of like young friends of it. Like obviously, I guess, you know, if I had like a younger cousin who was like in eighth grade, I'd be interested to hear what they have to say. But I think I don't have any cousins that young, but I think everybody I talk to who's like older is like, wow, thank God I didn't have this in middle school. Like the worst idea too. But then also I wonder if they like adjust accordingly, you know, because they realize the same thing. I mean, we've been talking about.
Usually people will give you the example that like, it's like, oh, we had TV rotted our brain when we were younger. Like we had unlimited access to TV or video games when we were growing up. Mm. Same thing. Not the same thing at all. Like, I think social media is significantly worse for like younger generation. Like there's nothing to compare this to. Like it's way worse for like younger kids to like be on this than like anything that's ever existed. like, and I feel very strongly about that.
Okay.
Like I can't think, can you think of anything that like would have been like worse for like kids to just be on all the time when they're younger?
No, definitely. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the only thing I've been thinking about too is like, I didn't grow up with magazines, but there was the, like,
no, man,
really, that sounds really weird, but like looking at magazines and looking how, you know, photoshopped. I'm thinking like for girls specifically, but you didn't have body image.
Yeah, but you didn't have unlimited access to magazines. Right, you still had to like buy them your parents still had, like were able to control like you buying magazines. So I can go out and like buy three magazines, but that would be it.
Sure. Yeah. And like, you know, what kinds of magazines, whatever, but this seems like maybe that, but on steroids.
But you have it like all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Just completely unlimited. Yeah. And it's people who like are maybe fooling you to think that it's that they're accessible, you know, as parts of your life.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So that is pretty clearly dangerous.
Have you ever watched the movie Men, Women, and Children? It's by Jason Reitman.
No.
It basically talks, it's heavily about social media and Adam Sandler's in it. And it's one of these films with like three different like families and like how their lives intersect. And it uses like a lot of it has to do with like social media and like media and how it's impacting like younger generations and like just people being able to like text each other like in high school. Like that's wild to me. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. I didn't have I was like the last person to get a cell phone in my high school, but I still got it, I think, when I was in ninth grade or something.
Yeah.
But then I didn't have a smartphone.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea of...
Which is great also, that you did not.
Yeah, and I know friends who did, and it was sort of a thing, too, where, like, you could check your... Oh, I remember this. You could check your grade. So, like, the minute teacher inputted the grade. I would often, like, oh, God, I gotta look, you know, such a nerd. But then I also heard other schools had the same system, but instead they also had their rank in the class. So your rank would update.
Mm.
So like, I mean, I kind of see that as the closest thing to having like social media maybe in high school that we had, but it's sort of like, you know, checking something constantly and just being like, where do I stand?
Yeah.
You know, like what a fucking nightmare. Like you don't even have high school to deal with, but it's not a controversial opinion. I'm saying, I think it's definitely like bad, but I think I'm sure these kids are like adjusting accordingly, if that makes sense. Like that they're looking out for themselves, and there's enough conversation out there saying that it's bad that like they know when to not let it rule their thought. But I don't know.
It's
even
wild.
Now, I'm so affected. I can be affected by it, you know, and like I don't even notice.
And you're a fully developed person.
I try to think I am.
Yeah, and so that's why it's scary that like non-fully developed people, that have that level of access to everything all at once.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, so here's kind of like the conclusion question, even though it can also expand. But what sorts of things do you do in your day-to-day life that like helps you keep your mind on the positive or on like the things that you're focused on that makes you feel driven too, if it's not just about happiness or positivity?
Yeah, you know what? The real answer to that is I still don't know. I'm still at a place right now where like I still don't have a structure to my life. And again, I think it's just the nature of like what it is that we do. Mm-hmm. So, I haven't allowed myself to like have that time. I think other people are a lot better than I am at like giving themselves rest and like not like being in a position where they really allow themselves like days off or like a lot more. And I think it's just like my own personality type too. I've got a lot of other issues that I think are like deeply rooted to like why I'm constantly like working all the time. And so like that's why I don't think that I'm not a very good person to ask that specific question to. But I will say there's two things that I think that I would like to do more and I think that would provide more happiness to that, which is one, I think just being gratitude I think is a really great thing. And I think just being really grateful. Like sometimes I'll just like think to myself like, this is awesome. Like that's the fucking sun. Like I'm looking at like a palm tree right now. Yeah. This is amazing. So I think like being grateful for like everything is like really important. And I think that like it generally makes you happier too. Mm-hmm. And then two, I think it really, there's a lot to just being like really just taking the time to like just be by yourself. And so letting your body rest, becoming like just not doing anything. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of, and I think other people do a lot better job at that than I do. But for me personally, I don't do that. So I need to like, taking more time to myself is very important to me. Cool. So all of that said though, I will say the one piece of advice that I think other people would like tell you differently is that everybody else would say, don't burn yourself out. Don't burn yourself out. Like make sure you take time for yourself right now. Mm-hmm. I do agree with that to an extent. Like don't do anything like uncharacteristically that's going to like hurt you in the long run. But I will say there is a moment where regardless of whether or not you were working really, really hard before that age, like when I turned 30, I got tired a lot easier and it was like night to day. and that like you should burn yourself out right now. Like you're at an age right now, and this is what I tell like some of my other like people that are around your age, or like people that I've worked with, that like burn yourself out right now, because no matter what, like regardless of whether you like work really really hard right now, you're going to hit 30, 31, and then you're not going to be able to, like, you're never going to be at the same pace. And so use that energy right now, because you do notice it. It's significantly different. Like, I don't want to do anything ever all the time. Like, that's my attitude towards a lot of stuff. Yeah. And I was going to, that's going to happen. That's inevitable. Sure. So, like, burn yourself out right now. Yeah. Go, like, go at a, like an even faster pace, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I don't think I go very fast. To begin with, so pick up the speed. No, but yeah, okay, that's good to know.
But yeah,
I have seen that before. I have like thought of that in my own mind before too, because sometimes it's like all this prepping for the future.
Yeah.
You, and then it's like, well, we don't know what we're gonna be, so might as well just like do what you gotta do.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I gotta do more.
Yeah.
As usual, but thank you. That's a good thing to say. I feel like I don't hear that advice as much, right? Because it's like, well, I don't think. Yeah. That's great.
Totally.
Cool. I think that's all. Really want to cover, unless you have anything else or anything you want to plug or specifically speak on?
No, this is a really fun opportunity. Really happy that we got to sit down and talk about stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think that maybe what I need to do actually is just like invent like a podcast so I can like talk to people like this.
Oh, I mean,
that's actually what I need to do.
Because this is fun, right? Like, I think it does create a different, space. As we said, like, it's like, it is harder to talk about these types of things like on a one-off thing, but if there's microphones in front of your face and you're like, ooh, we really got to create interesting stuff for people to listen to, then you kind of have that extra fire.
Totally.
And less of the social pressure of being like, I guess I got to talk about the weather.
Yeah.
You know?
And we talked about some like vastly different things during this podcast.
It'll be an interesting one. Like, it's definitely like, I don't know if people got to know you, but they got to know how you think, which is more important, honestly.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, I think that's the most, I could say the base level stuff about me, but like hearing the way that I think about stuff.
Yeah. That's actually very true. Cool.
Yeah. So maybe your podcast will just turn into this. And
I mean, fine. I'm happy for it.
Yeah. But I'm Dan, AKA Dan. That's my social media on everything. Alternative rap. And I really love comedy and everything. And Sierra is awesome. Sierra's killing it right now. And again, she does a really great job, I think, at like balancing both of those worlds, which not a lot of people do. So respect.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dan. You rock. Have a good day.
Cool. All
right. Bye.